And if you're interested in our environment, and if you're interested in doing what's right for the American people, if you're tired of the same old endless struggles that seem to produce nothing but noise and high bills, let us promote hydrogen fuel cells as a way to advance into the 21st century.
A simple chemical reaction between hydrogen and oxygen can generate enough electricity to power a car. A vehicle powered by hydrogen would revolutionize the automotive industry by replacing the century-old internal combustion engine and the polluting fossil fuels on which it runs. John DiCicco is an automotive engineer and senior fellow with Environmental Defense, a Washington-based lobby group. He says a hydrogen fuel cell works like a battery.
It uses a chemical reaction, but unlike a battery, which has either the charge built in when you buy it off the shelf or gets recharged like a car battery, a fuel cell generates electricity when you feed a fuel to it. And the type of fuel that works best for fuel cells is pure hydrogen.
Hydrogen is the most abundant substance in the universe. It's clean and can be extracted from water, natural gas, coal, nuclear energy, or from renewable, non-polluting energy sources like wind and solar power. The byproduct is water and heat. The promise of fuel cell-powered cars might be all the rage, but they're not a new idea. General Motors, the world's biggest automaker, built its first fuel cell vehicle in 1968. Since the late 1990s, the company has invested over $100 million each year on hydrogen technology, the largest single research and development program at General Motors. The company has built two hydrogen-powered concept cars. One features a novel skateboard-type chassis, a low platform with four wheels to which any kind of auto body can be attached. The second concept car is named Hi-Wire because it uses so-called bi-wire technology, which GM's hydrogen fuel program head Brian McCormick says operates electronics instead of cables.
It's sort of like a modern fighter plane, I guess, where the controls from the driver go down through electronic signals, and all of the steering, braking, acceleration, and control of the vehicle is done electronically. You can do that particularly when you have electric motors and a big electric power source, and that's a drivable vehicle.
Now, how far along is the technology?
The latest vehicles that we've shown certainly compare favorably with the vehicles of that class that they compete with. What they still are, though, is emerging from the laboratory, so several things need to be done to make it ready for the mass consumer. First of all, we've got to continue to get the cost down so that it costs the same as a conventional vehicle today to our consumer. And second of all, we've got to work with governments and with energy companies to work on the hydrogen infrastructure. And both of us need to work on better ways to store hydrogen on board the vehicle. So there's still some technology. There is certainly some public policy and certainly codes and standards that we have to work our way through in addition to what we do as a car company, which is provide exciting vehicles and bring the cost of the product down to where the consumers can afford it.
In the long run, can fuel cells beat out the competition? I mean, technology just isn't going to stand still.
General Motors has a very wide portfolio of initiatives we're doing. We have advanced internal combustion engines with things like displacement on demand, where you go from 2 to 4 to 8 cylinders, that sort of thing, to minimize the size of the engine that's actually propelling the car at any given time. And then we're adding hybrid technologies to augment internal combustion engines with electric drive. But the interesting thing about the fuel cell is that from a theoretical and practical basis, it's the most efficient energy conversion device that we know of.
Mr. McCormick, what do you want to be driving to work by the end of the decade?
By the end of the decade, I want to be driving a fuel cell car. There's no doubt about it.
But other experts say consumers are going to have to wait much longer because of technical hurdles such as hydrogen storage on the vehicle and the lack of a national plan to produce and distribute the hydrogen fuel. John DiCicco with Environmental Defense says the White House Hydrogen Car Initiative is speculative at best.
I think it's premature for the government to pick a winner at this early stage of the game and say, this is it. We're going to make a big push for this. It's not clear that it will work. It's not clear that it'll be affordable. And it's not even clear that from an environmental point of view that it's the best solution in the long run.
John DiCicco believes, like many environmentalists, that before the United States focuses on a new automotive technology like fuel cells, it must first make a commitment to reduce oil consumption and global warming pollution using existing technologies.
If we don't have in place the laws and the incentives to use technology we already have at hand that could raise efficiency of vehicles by 50%, by twofold, given in 10 years or so of lead time potentially, then how can we ever think it credible to make a business case for all of the major investments and big changes that be needed for hydrogen when the main reason for doing this is to reduce oil dependence, to reduce global warming emissions?
John DiCicco says the administration's $1.2 billion proposal to support fuel cell technology comes at the expense of current renewable energy programs, which get a smaller share of the 2004 budget Mr. Bush recently submitted to Congress. I'm Roseanne Skirball.